he was 75 when God called him, so we got 25 years going on. Now, if you struggle and you're like, 99, really? We do have a member of our congregation that's 99. So there is that, doing great, better than most of us. And also, this was closer to the fall, so people have made the argument that earlier on in human history, our bodies were not quite as affected by the curse. That's one argument. Another argument is maybe they reckon time differently, and that's okay too if that's the one you like. I think he was 99. At any rate, what we can believe, what we can count on is he and his wife are both well past the years of where it's reasonable to expect that you might have a child. Well beyond that. He's been walking with God for 25 years at this point. At this point, 13 years ago, this story has happened. Where if you know the story, kept expecting a son. God has promised a son, and Sarah suggests the maid, and so that's what happens, and Ishmael is born to the maid of Abraham, and I feel certain we see evidence of it in the story that this creates some tension in his marriage as well and in his household. And this has happened. He's old. He's tired. He's been hoping in God for a long time. In fact, it's probably likely that yesterday we had a men's breakfast here, and it's one of the things that we talked about is that men need to be making something. Like in the video we watched, they drew a distinction between boys who consume and men who create. And, you know, video games and work. And it is calling us to be men. And Abraham is tired. And he's old. And he's probably imagining he's kind of done producing, certainly done producing children. And God has been silent for 14 years at this point. There's been no interaction, no activity that we have. It says he was 86, and then it says he was 99. Can you imagine what that might be like? And he knows he blew it. That's the setting of when this comes about. So tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to pray, and then I'm going to read sections of this as we kind of talk through what's going on. So I'm going to pray first. God, I pray that you will open our hearts and our ears that are sometimes cold, sometimes numbed, and sometimes just distracted, disillusioned. God, open us to hear your word and to be transformed. It's in your name. Amen. I'm going to read the first 14 verses. So we get a sense of what's going on. When Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abram and said to him, I am God Almighty. Walk before me and be blameless, that I may make my covenant between me and you and may multiply you greatly. And then Abram fell on his face, and God said to him, Behold, my covenant is with you, and you shall be the father of a multitude of nations. No longer shall your name be called Abram, but your name shall be Abraham. Abram means exalted father. Abraham means father of many. For I have made you the father of a multitude of nations. I will make you exceedingly fruitful, and I will make you into nations. And kings shall come from you, and I will establish my covenant between me and you and your offspring after you throughout their generations for an everlasting covenant to be God to you and to your offspring after you. And I will give to you and to your offspring after you the land of your sojournings, all the land of Canaan for an everlasting possession, and I will be their God. And God said to Abraham, As for you, you shall keep my covenant, you and your offspring after you throughout their generations. This is my covenant which you shall keep between me and you and your offspring after you. Every male among you shall be circumcised. You shall be circumcised in the flesh of your foreskins, and it shall be a sign of the covenant between me and you. He who is 8 days old among you shall be circumcised. Every male throughout your generations, whether born in your house or bought with your money, from any foreigner who is not of your offspring, both he who is born in your house and he who is bought with your money shall surely be circumcised. So shall my covenant be in your flesh, an everlasting covenant. Any uncircumcised male who is not circumcised in the flesh of his foreskin shall be cut off from his people. He has broken my covenant. It's an interesting play on words. What's interesting to me, the first thing that pops out, is not so much this odd ritual, which we'll talk about, but Abram's first response. The first thing, God has talked with him for 25 years about walking with me. This is the covenant. We talked about that last week. I'm going to give you this, all this stuff. This is the way it's going to work. And 14 years silence. I'm sure there's we'll see in a minute. There's a tendency, a desire to just settle and be done. Anybody here feel that way? Just not enough. And God shows up to him, and in verse 3, Abram fell on his face. His first thing is to worship. Now, I think it might be some of our tendency to kind of almost roll our eyes, oh, this old man again, kind of be kind, right? That might be what we might think. And Abram falls on his face. He has sinned repeatedly. There's this incident where he sort of passed off his wife as a sister in Egypt. You can read about that a couple chapters back because he was scared for his own life. There's this incident with Hagar and Ishmael and what's going on there and the family dynamic that must have caused. You think you have a dysfunctional family. He slept with the maid and had a kid. There's problems. He's struggling. And God, after 14 years of not hearing from him, God shows up and he says, I want to bless you so that you can be a blessing to the world. And the first thing Abram does is fall on his face. That's what a recognition of our need can do. Think about it. Seriously, really, just stop for a minute. Think of your own area of brokenness, your own hurt. Maybe it's your sin, something you've done to someone. Maybe it keeps you awake at night. Maybe it's wounds. Maybe something someone did to you and you just feel not worthy, not good enough. I'm bad. Got this stuff going on. God wants to bless you so that he can use you in the world. He wants to show you favor and grace in spite of that. Some of us have issues, long silences in our marriage. That's something we don't bring up. Maybe we have those in other family relationships, these silences that grow. And as they grow, what happens? We just feel worse and worse and worse, and it becomes harder and harder and harder to deal with it. And God shows up and says, I want to show you favor. First thing that ought to do is cause us to worship. Recognition that we don't really deserve that. It's interesting because theologians have said this in the past. We are programmed like a computer. We are designed to function, our highest function, the most important thing that we can do is worship. That's what we exist for. And when we don't find an object to worship, when God is not present, when it's not God, it'll be something else. What do we talk about? What do we love? What do we get excited about telling other people? What do we want more of? Give me more of that. That will make me feel better. Those are the things that we worship. We are made for it. And not only are those the things that we worship, but those are the things that we use. This is important. Those are the things that we use to numb the pain that we feel because we're not worshiping God the most. See, when we're not just programmed to worship anything. We're programmed to worship our Creator, but we don't because of the fall, because we're broken, because we're sinful. And when we don't, it hurts. And we go out and we find things to rub on that pain. It could be alcohol, it could be substances, it could be porn, it could be relationships, it could be TV. It could be a dozen, hundred, million things. John Calvin said the human heart is an idol factory. If there's not an idol, we'll make one. And God penetrates that. And he says, yes, you have done this. You have worshipped Abraham. You have worshipped the promise. And you have sought to bring it about by having a kid that wasn't the plan. You tried that. It didn't work out. He penetrates into that and he says, it doesn't matter that you're broken and you've ruined it and you messed up. It doesn't matter. I'm still going to bless you. I still want to show you favor. And Abram fell on his face. Hope that drives us to that same place. That's why some people say, well, gosh, Pastor Jared, you talk about brokenness too much. I want us to see our brokenness so that we can see the grace of Jesus Christ. That's what we need to see, because we need to worship it. We need to worship Him who gives us that grace. And the one thing that will drive us there, and we see it in Abram's life, is a recognition that in spite of ourselves, God wants to bless us. Another interesting thing is this idea. I'm just going to mention this. This circumcision. Why circumcision? We don't know. No, nowhere. It was not unheard of in the ancient world, but it was never a everybody in the house, everybody in the family does this. There's two thoughts. Number one, it's a brand. Think of it that way. Some of you ranchers, you know what I'm saying. Brand a cattle. It's a mark that says this belongs to that. That's a brand. That is a brand that says this belongs to God in a special way, in a different way. God owns the earth, but he's called out a special people, and that's what we see begin to build here with Abram. One people that will be his. The word treasured possession is used several times throughout the Old and New Testament for God's people, and that word implies that God owns everything, but that is the thing that he loves. So that's one thing. It's a brand. Another thing is we see another theme that doesn't start right here. It starts later with this idea of circumcision. The phrase that will be used repeatedly is circumcision of the heart, implying that there is some old, hard, dead skin that needs to be cut away. And why there? Why is this the image? Because God longs for intimacy with his people. And what is more intimate? What is a better way to indicate this is how close I want to know you? I want to be known by you. So those are some ideas for why this unusual thing was chosen. But his second response, this is interesting. Abraham has already fallen on his face, right? Abraham has said, okay, just flat. And I hope God drives you there, if he never has, to just flat on your face before him. And after he recovers, he wants to settle. Listen to this, verse 15. God said to Abraham, as for Sarai, your wife, you shall not call her Sarai, but Sarah shall be her name. I will bless her. And moreover, I will give you a son by her. I will bless her, and she shall become nations. Kings of peoples shall come from her. And then Abram fell on his face and laughed and said to himself, shall a child be born to a man who is 100 years old? And shall Sarah, who is 90 years old, bear a child? And Abraham said to God, "Oh, that Ishmael might live before you." And God said, "No, but Sarah, your wife, shall bear you a son, and you shall call his name Isaac. I will establish my covenant with him as an everlasting covenant for his offspring after him. As for Ishmael, I have heard you. Behold, I have blessed him, and I will make him fruitful and multiply him greatly. He shall father 12 princes, and I will make him into a great nation. But I will establish my covenant with Isaac, whom Sarah shall bear to you at this time next year." Abram wanted, when he says that Ishmael might live before you, that means what it's an idiom for, just let Ishmael be the one. Let him be the one you keep talking about. And he says no. Now, this was in a sense settling for less than God's best in this case, less than God's promise. He'd told him it was going to be Sarah, and he circumnavigated that deal. So why? That's the question I look at. Why would Abraham want that? I have a few ideas. He loved his son. Ishmael kind of gets a bad rap. Poor guy, he just had the wrong mama. He got kicked out of his household. All these problems and issues arise that are not his fault. And Abram is his father. Abraham now is his father. And he loves him. Now that's an important thing that we need to hear. He had made a mistake, but it didn't change the fact that he loved his son. We play a game sometimes in church. Shame and blame. And you know what? There are probably kids in our nursery right now who are products of mistakes. Some people might feel ashamed of that, and others might think, you know what that was. Let me tell you, I want more of them. One thing that we see here is that in spite of this mistake, in spite of, let's call it what it is, Abraham's sin to do what he did, to not believe God and to make this choice, God's favor, God's blessing grows. Paul makes the same argument. Should we sin? Where there is sin, God's grace abounds. And he goes on and says, I mean, we should just do whatever we want. So, no. No, but don't worry about it. Where there are mistakes, there is grace. And it's good. That boy, Ishmael, was a gift. And Abraham loved him. So that's one reason. Maybe he just, let this work out. Another is he probably struggled to believe it. He didn't want to be put in another position. For 14 years, God, I haven't heard from you. And you're telling me now that you're going to do this. It is hard to believe that my wife, who's, kind of up there, is going to have a baby. I don't want to struggle to believe it. We talked about that last week and how that word, Abraham believed God, was believing. That he was, can you imagine, gritting his teeth. I'm going to believe. Even in the face of difficulty believing it, he chose to do that. And that is hard. And Abram is tired. God, I don't want to do this anymore. Please, just let it be Ishmael. And I think another part is that promise can be too hard to bear. In my head, I probably read this somewhere. I have this idea, this phrase, a taste of glory. And I've met people, and I know people who have, and you may know people who have experienced a taste of glory. An experience, maybe a moment, or a glimpse of the grace of God, and a recognition of just how good it could be. And it terrifies them. And I know people whose lives were ruined by a taste of glory because they went running the other way as fast as they could because it was so scary. That's what God's grace can be. God's grace is sometimes the hardest thing that we can ever hear or experience. Because we want to earn We want to strive. We want to deserve something. We want to be able to say, well, you know, I got this. And God's grace says, you never will. Now come here and just let me hold you. And that doesn't always feel good at first. And sometimes it sends us packing. But whenever we don't just fall into our Creator's open arms, we are settling. We are settling for less than He wants us to have. Think Abraham deserved the first blessing 25 years prior? Probably not. I mean, we'd agree. But after these little incidents over the past 25 years when he's supposed to be walking with God, think he deserves them now? Probably less. I mean, if we were to track the course of his life, the expectation on him, considering, you know, who he was after all, you know, he'd already been called out of home, he's already following God, he's already doing all that God asks, and he's cheating? We'd say, he deserves it less. What about us? Those of us that have been walking with God 25 years or more, those of us less maybe, do we feel like we deserve it more now or less now? Don't settle. Don't ever settle for being good enough when God wants to bless us in spite of not. And then, in spite of Abraham's desire to settle, eventually, after all of this, he does obey. Verse 22, picking up the story. When he had finished talking with him, God went up from Abraham. Abraham took Ishmael, his son, and all those born in his house, or bought with his money, every male among the men of Abraham's house, and he circumcised the flesh of their foreskins that very day, as God had said to him. And Abraham was 99 years old when he was circumcised in the flesh of his foreskin. And Ishmael, his son, was 13 years old when he was circumcised in the flesh of his foreskin. That very day, Abraham and his son Ishmael were circumcised, and all the men of his house, those born in the house and those bought with the money from a foreigner, were circumcised with him. Okay. I just want a couple of, actually several years prior, we have this verse in chapter 14. 318 trained men were in Abram's house before Ishmael was born. So we're looking 20 years ago, okay, from this point. 318. It's rational to believe that he's only grown more wealthy or more, you know, broader home than he had at that time. So we can guess more. But if, be conservative and say, no, 200. That's fine. All right. You think God has called you to do something that sounds too hard. Try circumcising 318 trained men. This was not, we read this sometimes and we think, yeah, I've read this, I know the story. It's a little bit, it's a little graphic. Don't want to think about that too hard. But think about that. Think about the first audience that read this going, he did what? And they didn't have ORs. This was not a simple thing. And Abram did it. Yes, he struggled with some hesitation. Oh, just let Ishmael be the one. He wanted to settle. But at the end of the day, he just said, okay, I'll do it. Where's the place that God is calling us? What feels too difficult? What's the people or the person that God is calling us to love? Or the time or money or energy maybe that God is asking us to give? What is it? We're all in different places. We all live in different parts of the city. We all have different connections, different workplaces, but we know right here where this is my circle, maybe it's church, maybe it's community, maybe it's another ministry. What is God asking you to do? Where is He asking you to trust that He will come through for you? Where is the place that He wants to bless you, to show you favor in spite of yourself, so that He can use you in the world? That's what all of this is about. I mean, Abram wasn't just Abram for Abram's sake. Abram was Abram for the sake of the world. God called him way back, said, I'm going to use you to bless the whole earth. He wants to do the same thing with us. Maybe He doesn't want to make nations of us, but He does intend to use us to bless those around us. The lesson from Abram's story is not one of morality. Do this and live. It's trust God. It's recognize our own weakness, our own tendency to worship whatever we can find, our own desires to settle for less than the best, and then at the end of the day to fall on our face and do what God calls us to. Let me pray for us. God, You used Abraham in a mighty way in this world to plant a seed that would build a people that would eventually spread throughout the nations. And I pray, Lord Jesus, that You would use us as one little corner outpost in that people group, one place that You would bless those around us. Use us. Help us to recognize idolatries that we might have, places we want to just give up, places we want to settle, and shake us out of that and give us a new passion. Bring revival upon us that it might spread from us. It's in Your name. Amen.